singing seems to be able to do something for us and to us and work in us unlike most other ways of communication. Sometimes when people sing to us, so you may, I don't know if you've got a romantic person in your life or in your family that can sing songs, maybe it's a song they've written or something that they have learned that someone else has composed. You know, maybe sometimes even listening to the radio and or, you know, whatever device you listen to, your preferred media, you listen to a song, but it has a way of moving us sometimes unlike just a spoken word. Just, it's different than just someone saying it. So I'm going to sing my... No, I'm not. But this is what we have here with Mary. That this is a song that she sang, and, you know, I don't know if even in the early church they knew what the music was, but perhaps they even put that song to music to be able to, first of all, to remember what she had said, because singing sometimes, have you ever met people and they say, I can't remember anything, you know, people say things to me and, you know, trying to memorize a verse, just one verse of the Bible, is almost impossible, but then they can sing an entire song, you know, all verses, including the chorus, and, well, how did you remember all of that? Well, sometimes even putting things to music really helps us to remember, and so this is what Mary does here, and so I just want to spend some time looking at Mary this morning. Because oftentimes, you know, people focus on the power of God, the wonder of God, just, and certainly that's what Mary is doing in this song, just kind of, we would say, honoring God or glorifying God. Some in the Latin would say this is called a Magnificat, which is to magnify, to honor, to make God really big. And so we want to talk about that part of it, of what she's doing. But there's something about the singing part of it that really adds to what she's doing here. So she's meeting with Elizabeth now, and so we're going to kind of walk through this story really quickly. But I guess the thing is, what God does here, I mean, it is amazing. But kind of in a way, it's not surprising because we already know that God is all loving. He's all powerful. He's all gracious and kind. And God desperately wants a relationship with us. So for God to step in, even into history and into mankind and into culture, even into our lives, for God to want to do that, that seems very consistent. But the thing that maybe, to me at least, is something of wonder is Mary's response. And so, again, we look at how great God is, but we also say, well, what is my response to a great God that maybe wants to do something in my life? So kind of as we go through this, we find that there's two women, and so the title of the lesson today has to do with being inconceivable, and technically they were both in a miraculous mode, that Elizabeth was well beyond years, so it's kind of almost the story of Abraham and Sarah, you know, unable to get pregnant, and so I'm assuming she's been trying her whole life, even at the point where she's saying, you know, because I am now conceived, even in my old age, that there's a reproach that has been taken away from me. So she's desperately been wanting children, and now she's a senior citizen. We don't know exactly how old she was, but really well beyond years of conception, right? So even when the angel came to Zacharias to tell him of this wonderful news, hey, guess what, Zach? You're going to be a dad. And now, I don't know, again, the stories, it's hard to know what he's thinking. It's kind of like, that's not possible, or I'm a little bit too old to be going to ball games. You know what I mean? Like, how old am I going to be when John graduates, right? I mean, so it's kind of hard for him to understand or to take this in or to understand how it's even going to work out. But here, this baby, even in her old age, she's going to have a baby. But then on the other side, there's Mary, probably very young. Just, we don't know because the Bible doesn't say, but we know culturally back then, again, most boys and girls even, when they were even young teenagers, did not go to high school and then to college. Now, you may have, if you were going to, you know, be a religious leader, what they call the lawyer sometimes, or, you know, something else, but quite often you just took upon yourself your father's business, and so he was teaching you at a very young age about what to do. And the same thing with the women. They were learning how to be a mother and how to be a wife and how to take care of the family and how to do chores around the house or whatever it is. And so a lot of times kids at 12 and 13 years old are ready. I don't know, kids, could you put your... Like, they're ready to get married at that age. It's like, oh, you know what I mean? But they are. That's what they did. And even there's cultures in our world today, even where, you know, kids at a very young age, young teenagers, are getting married because, you know, they don't need to wait until they're 35 and all their loans are paid off, right? They don't need to do that. They start off early. So she may have been a very young woman. I mean, maybe there's even some youngsters here that are just like 12 or 13 or 14 years old. And could you imagine? It's like, well, I'm going to be a dad, or I'm going to be a mom, and, you know, we're going to get married and we're going to have this career, and, you know, just, but that's the way it was for them. That was natural. It was not kind of outside the realm of what happens in, again, the very small town. They weren't growing up in the city. It wasn't in Jerusalem, this area of Nazareth. You know, it's definitely not a city. We would call it a village. And so here she's getting this news about, this is inconceivable. How's God going to do this? What is going to happen? What is the future? What's going to happen, you know, with all the other relationships? Things are definitely going to change in her life. And she was willing to accept that. And so when the angel Gabriel appears, he begins by saying, "Greetings to you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." So again, put yourself in that situation. Again, not knowing exactly how old she was, but just say, do you remember when you were a young teenager? Right? Now, did anybody ever come up and say to you, God highly favors you? I mean, he looks upon you like you are something, and he's going to use you for something special, not in 10 or 20 or 30 years, right now. God is going to do something in your life. The Lord is with you and you are highly favored. I mean, there's a lot of us in our 50s and 60s. It's like, really, I'm highly favored in God's sight? That God says, you know, that the Lord is with you? Well, yeah, he is. And so he, just like he worked in Mary's life, very young woman, he wants to work in our life today, no matter what our age is or what our gender is or what our social status is. Or God wants to work in our life. He's got a plan for us. Now, it's not necessarily going to be this plan, but maybe something more similar than we could imagine, that God does want to work in our life. And so Mary hears this news. She's willing to accept it. And so God blesses her for it. He's going to work through her. And she's saying, may it be done, just as you've said. So now when Mary begins this song as she meets her relative, it just says a relative. And so her relative is Elizabeth. Elizabeth, of course, is much older. Mary, a young teenager. And this is the way she starts this song. My soul magnifies the Lord. So it seems like she's able to put aside all of her fears and her concerns and a lot of, well, how's this going to work out? She's just saying, I can praise God. I don't know what God's up to, and I don't know what all the plan is, but I can just praise God. And I wonder if we are at the point in our life of saying, you know, sometimes things happen to me in life. Sometimes events, circumstances, maybe good, maybe bad. Sometimes there are just a lot of questions more than answers. And I can just say, well, I can leave that up to God. I'm just going to glorify God. I'm going to honor God. And this word magnify has got the prefix mega, legios, which means, mega is, you know, you go and you order something that's, you want a mega meal. So in other words, when something is mega, you magnify it. You make it much bigger. And this is what she's doing, is that she's magnifying. She's thinking about who God is, and she's trying to really come to terms with reality. So here's the problem. Sometimes when we think of mega, we think of, well, sometimes we have something called a telescope. So the scope's got to do with being able to see something, and so it's going to make something larger. Have you ever done that before, where you look in the sky through a telescope and you're able to see things that you couldn't see before? So here's one question. When you look through the telescope, do you look and say, that star is bigger through the telescope than it is when I looked with just my eye? Is that true? No, it's not true. Your telescope didn't make that star bigger. What did it do? It made it appear bigger. It brought you closer to how big it really is, right? Because we realize the stars are even a lot bigger than our planet, and some of them even a lot bigger than our solar system. So there's galaxies and things in the distance that we can see, but it's not making it bigger. It's helping us to understand the bigness of it. Does that make sense? So when she is magnifying the Lord, she is saying, God is doing something bigger than something I could ever imagine. When I reflect on all of God, all of what God has done, I am able to say, wow, I thought God was great before, but now I understand He is awesome. I mean, He's just more powerful. He is more loving. He is more generous. He is more involved in my life than what I understood before. So I'm beginning to see a different picture of God because of not only His working in the past, but now working in my life. So this is the idea of the telescope. But then if we want to see something else, we can use a microscope, right? And what that does is take something that is apparently small, or something that we could almost say is just about invisible, but when we look through the microscope, we're able to pick up a lot of details we'd never seen before. And this is something else that this idea of magnify, she magnifies the Lord, is she's really beginning to honor God for who He is. That there's, like, He works out intricate details, which is amazing. Like, some people think that, well, God is some great force and some great power in the universe, and He created the world and He set it going, and He has no interaction, He has no concern, He is very distant, maybe once every decade or maybe once every millennia He'll come down, just check things out, and then He goes somewhere else. And He doesn't care about anything. But in fact, God cares about everything. Did you ever think about that before? He cares about everything. Some people say, well, I've got a lot of little stuff going on in my life. It's too small for God. Like, God doesn't, I don't want to bore God with the details of my life. He has more important things to do. Like right now, this time of year, we sing about it. God's working on world peace. You know, He's not really that concerned that, you know, I have a struggle today. Well, no. Well, He is taking care of world peace as well, but He's also very concerned about us. Right? He cares about the details of our life. And that's why Jesus, he can say, you know, you can come to God and you can pray about anything. Anything in your life. God wants to hear from you. He's very interested. He's very active. He's very involved. He's always looking to see how things are going. And so He's a father, or, you know, maybe sometimes we would see it as a grandfather or a grandmother who's very concerned about the kids and the grandkids. Right? It's not like, well, you know, I'll let him go for a few weeks and I hope it works out, and, you know, but we go all this time without even thinking about them. No, you're involved in their lives. You're very concerned about even the little things, right? Sometimes they seem pretty insignificant until you're the parent or until you're the grandparent. But then they become, you know, very important. This is the way God is. And so we magnify God because of who He is and how much He really does care for us. So this is kind of what Mary is doing through this song, is to glorify, magnify, and honor God. So one of the things that she does mention in this is that because God has been mindful of the humble state of His servant. She's talking about herself. Now, this is not somebody saying, hey, look at me, I'm humble. She is saying, who am I? I'm a person, again, we would say almost like a Gideon, you know. I'm a person of a small town, a small family. We don't have a lot of money. I don't have a lot of education. I just kind of feel like I'm a person that's trying to serve God and do the best I can. But really, why would He choose me? I mean, there's a lot of other people in a lot of other cities, in a lot of other synagogues. Why would He choose me? He's looked down upon me. because who am I anyway? And so she is just thankful to God that he could work in her life. Do we feel like that sometimes, that God wants to work in my life? I look around and say, well, there's people that are more qualified. They have more gifts, they have more talents, they have more opportunities, they have more money, they have all kinds of things that I don't have. Why would he want to work through me? Why would he choose me? Why has he given me things to do? Who am I? And so she's just saying, I just honor and glorify God because he wants to work in my life. He wants to do things. He almost like Mary is like saying, he wants to change the world through me. He wants to change circumstances. He wants to change other people's lives in the process of changing my life. Did you know that her getting pregnant is going to change her life? And I'm not just talking about physically, but I'm talking about socially. I mean, she's going to have a rough life. Does that make sense? Because it's kind of like, back then, I think people understood how babies were made and they could also do math. It's kind of like, you got pregnant before you were married. And it didn't go over very well in that society, in that culture, in that church where she went. You got pregnant before you were married? And you're calling yourself, a faithful daughter of Abraham and that you're serving God? And I mean, I don't know. Did she tell a lot of people? It's like, well, it wasn't me. And it certainly wasn't Joseph. And it's like, what are you saying? I don't know. Would she have ever told somebody, well, it's a miracle? It's like, okay. So now we have other problems. Did you get pregnant? But either you're unwilling to admit it or else you've got some other issues going on in your mind. It's just hard to explain, isn't it? I mean, there's so many skeptics today that even after all these years, they still say, it could never happen. It didn't happen that way. It doesn't mean that. No, but the Bible does say that she was a virgin. And, she did not have a relationship with even Joseph till after the baby was born. So it's going to change. Is it okay if God wants to work in our life, but it's going to require some change? It's going to require maybe some things being a little uncomfortable for us. It may require that people are going to look at us funny, or maybe even they will persecute us in a way that happened to Mary, didn't it? Quite often people were wondering, whose father is the Christ? That was one of the answers that was even asked of Jesus. Who is your father? But she's saying, I'm willing to accept this. And so that's kind of the next part that we get into. So we're not going to look at every part of this song, but one part is this, that God's mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. So it's just a reminder to us that God is always willing, always able, always available to reach out to people. So we say, well, we didn't live in the first generation, or we didn't grow up in a Jewish generation. So not only has it got to do with time, whether you're a millennial or a baby boomer or Gen X, it doesn't matter what generation you were born in. God still wants a relationship. He's still seeking you. He's still willing to love and be filled with mercy. It doesn't matter when, but it also doesn't matter where. Right? It's for everybody. It's for the whole world. It's not just for the Jews. It's not just for the Gentiles. It's not just for people that are Americans and the Canadians. But it's for everyone. This message of mercy, of God's grace. So this is why Jesus said, this is the message that's to be shared throughout the world. To all nations. To all peoples. That God's merciful. He's loving. He's kind. He wants a relationship with everybody. And then so, Luke chapter 1 and verse 38. This is Mary's response, as this is kind of before the song. But this is her response to Gabriel. And I wonder, is this our response to God? When God says, I want to work in your life, I want to do something, I'm going to give you something. What's our response? This is her response. I'm the Lord's servant. So what she's saying is, I've already made up my mind. I've already made that decision before this conversation happens, that I'm going to serve the Lord. Now, sometimes we talk about that just means, when I have time, when I feel like it, you know, I'm going to see if I can do a little bit for God here and there. What she's actually saying is, I am a bond servant of God, which means it's like, you know, back in that day, they had people that would be servants in the house. And their job is to do whatever their master wants them to do. It's just the way it was. I mean, today you can call it your job. Now, does it work that way at your place of employment? Like you go there and, you know, they pay you all kinds of money and they give you a nice position. Your boss comes and says, well, I want you to do this. And you're like, what do you think I am, a servant? I'm going to do what I want to around here. And just because you want to do that, I'm not doing that. I got other stuff I want to do. And by the way, I'm pretty busy, you know, updating my Facebook posts. So come back later, right? Anybody do that with their boss and still employed? Well, let's put that. And if you are, let us know where you work, because we all want to go work there. But, you know, that's not the way it works. So that's all it means, is she was saying, I'm the servant of the Lord. If God says he wants me to use me in this way, I'm his servant. If he wants to use me in another way, I'm his servant. If it's going to be difficult, that's what servants do. If it's going to be uncomfortable, I don't necessarily agree with it, or I don't like it, or I don't understand it, or I have some fear. I'm just his servant. I'm going to do what he says. Because I've already decided this is what it means to follow Christ. To say, I'm just going to do what he wants. When it's convenient and when it's not convenient. When I agree with it and when I'm really questioning. When it feels good and when the feelings aren't there. I've already made that commitment that I'm going to be a servant. But then she says, may your word to me be fulfilled. Because if that's your will, if that's what you want, I want it to. I want it to happen. If that's what you want to happen, I want it to happen. And I'm happy with it happening through me. So the idea is that God is coming down in a miraculous way. Here's a woman that is human. And God says, I'm going to come down, and you're going to get pregnant, and you're going to give birth to the Messiah. His name is going to be Jesus, and he's going to do great things in the world. Today, this is what God says. You're human. I want to come down. I want to enter your life. I don't want to enter your womb. I want to enter your heart. And I want to live inside of you. And I want you to do the work I've called you to do. And I want to change the world through you. And that may even include, for men and women, that could even be giving birth to other people spiritually. You ever thought of that? That God's working through us. Now, I agree 100% God works through his word. And people can pick up a Bible. And I kind of said it before. That's what they do in China. Here's a Bible. Read it. And God will be showing you what to do and telling you what to do through the written word. But he also works through people. And if we're willing to say, God, may it be, as you've said. And Lord, I am your servant. And you can work in my life. And I can have the kind of attitude that I'm not grumbling and complaining and I'm not looking for somebody else. I'm just going to say, my soul magnifies the Lord. And I want him to work in my life just as he has said. So that's it in a nutshell. That's called being a Christian. right? That's what it is to say, I surrender to you, work in my life. Today, if you want this thing called being born again, starting anew, a fresh life in Christ, you can make a decision today. Say, I'm going to surrender to you. I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to say, God, work in my life. I'm open because I want to serve you all the days of my life. I want a relationship with you. I want to honor you and glorify you, and I want to love you. And all that is going to be reflected in decisions and in actions and just following God. And if you want to do that today, make Jesus the Lord of your life and to be baptized into him, we can do that today. But if we can encourage you, if we can pray with you, if we can be a blessing, we're going to stand, we'll sing this song, and let us know how we can be an encouragement to you today.